ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयो मदीरये। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 45. Shri Siddha Uchu Yon no Shri Siddha Uchu Yon ogatim yoga siddhamasadur Arshid yoga tapobalena Nana darpam tam nakar vidardara Tashmai tubhyam prasanta shmo nishringa. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nishringa, Nishringadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Repeating the verse, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrisimhadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. On earth there are many yogis who can exhibit some feeble mystic power by manufacturing pieces of gold like magic. But the inhabitants of the planet Siddhaloka are actually extremely powerful in mysticism. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes. This is called Lagima Siddhi. They can actually become very light and fly in the sky. By a severe type of austerity, however, Hiranyakashipu excelled all the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and created disturbances for them. The residents of Siddhaloka were beaten by the powers of Hiranyakashipu. Now that Hiranyakashipu had been killed by the Lord, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka also felt relieved. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna. So it's a great honor to be here today. It's above my station, but I'm very much humbled to see this incredible temple here. For many years I've been hearing about Chaupati. I'm from Alachua, Florida. Everyone hears about Alachua, right? But Alachua is like a fig in comparison to Chaupati. This, I'm seeing that Prabhupada is being respected and appreciated by your Guru Maharaj, as he should be. My first impression when I came in and saw this lovely Vyasa-san with these wonderful books, and this is what Prabhupada deserves. He deserves this attention and appreciation. So your Guru Maharaj has great potency because he is respecting his spiritual master. And he's giving so much appreciation and so much attention to Srila Prabhupada's desires. This is, as I see all these people here, it's very nice. This is Prabhupada's desire that people come. Although you have great opulence here, it's really astounding, very incredible. Although there's great opulence here, the true opulence is in the attitude of the people. who are here, the devotees who are here. This mood of seva is very, very inspiring to me. And it's one of those life-changing experiences. So I'm very much appreciative to be able to be here with you and to try to say something today about Lord Nrisimhadev and the siddhas. Everyone is trying to achieve something. Every man is very much concerned with achievement. The wife, she achieves just by having the family, taking care of the family members and the children and so forth. Her achievement is to produce children. But the man, he's anxious quite often for siddhis, for perfections and some kind of skill in his doctoral or his business or his engineering skill. He wants to achieve something that is lasting. What is this desire? This is a desire to build some kind of monument for oneself. It's actually a foolish desire in many respects. Because everything, no matter what you build or what you achieve, is either forgotten. How many people know who built the Howrah Bridge? Someone must know, really. But we don't know. So like this, so many people are forgotten in history so very quickly. It's very interesting, my son, he was about 19, or no, he's about 16 or something. Who is Eisenhower, he said. When I was a boy, Eisenhower was the president. Does anyone here know who Eisenhower was? Some older folks. No. But like this, the achievements that we make in this material world are very short-lived. They have no real basis. In fact, actually, they simply are like the will of the wisp, Prabhupada describes. And they move off with the wind. They're blown away. The cities are interesting. Everyone is trying to achieve these cities. This prapti city, acquisition. One can reach into another planet, or he can reach into a treasure house and remove gold, bring it and show it in his hand. No, I don't have any. Sorry. I don't have any today. But this prapti city, Prabhupada describes one yogi was getting some fruit like this, some very rare fruits from a different part of the country. So this is going on. People want to get this ability to acquire things, have them come to them. Lagima, travel in space. Of course, I came here on an airplane from America and then from Calcutta. And it is always a trepidation. You never know if you're going to make it or not. It's interesting to fly like that. But travel in space is costly and so forth. But these different yogis, they perfect their lives and they get this yoga city that they can travel in space from one planet to another without any protection, without any armor and so on. They travel in their subtle bodies. Now, it's very amazing that this is an opportunity. You see that in America and also here in India, billions of dollars are spent to try to put the satellites up and to put a man on the moon, so-called. It's a farce. But so many things they're doing in the name of this science to travel. They want to travel and go to different places. But when they get there, what is the use? They're still contained in an atmosphere. They're still dependent on the atmosphere of the Earth planet. So there's anima. Anima means you can become very, very small. Is that right? I'm not sure about all of these. Anima, is that correct? Yes. So anima means you can become very small and you can go under the crack in the door and you can enter into some room, or you can go directly through the wall. You can become like an atom and go directly through the wall, through the vibrations that are holding the wall together. There's space between everything. So like this, and then there's Mahima, you can become very large. Some of the demons, they have that city. Putana had that city. And she became very, very large, thinking that she could shake Krishna off of her breast, but it was not possible. There's also this ability to convince others. I don't know what the Sanskrit term for that is. Anyone knows?
Vashita.
Vashita. So this Vashita is very interesting. There was one church in America founded by one man. He had this city. And he was an ordinary-looking man, you know, wore a coat and tie and so forth. He was a preacher in the Christian tradition. And he preached vigorously, and he established over, I think, 200 different churches on his particular denomination. He created a denomination of Christianity. So when he passed away, the elders in his church, they decided, let us see what Gurudev, essentially, what this guru of our organization has said. And so they compiled tapes, and they compiled writings, and so forth. And they found everything was in contradiction to it. Everything was in contradiction. But he had the city. When he spoke, everyone believed whatever he said at that particular time. So it was a very amazing situation. Then they all these churches, they practically disbanded. And the ministers in the church, they continued on preaching as they would. But there was no parampara, because this man had the city, but he did not have parampara. He was not in connection with a disciplic line, and was not preaching the same message as you might say as Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. He was not able to do that. But he convinced so many people. So these cities are useless in so many respects. And then, of course, there's the mechanical city. What is that? No, I don't know the name of that either. The mechanical city was offered to Arjuna by the demon Maya after he saved him. Arjuna saved him, saved his life. So he was offered this mechanical city where he could do so many things mechanically and technically. But Krishna advised him, don't take this, don't take this. This will disturb your spiritual life. So we can see, Prabhupada said once, Krishna hates machines. He hates machines, he doesn't like. Why? Because so many things we see men can do that machines do, and men like to be engaged. Even the man with low intelligence, he likes to be engaged. He wants to have do his part. He wants some self-respect. That is one nice thing I appreciate so much in India, is that people have self-respect no matter what position they are in the society. They have a feeling that their service is valuable, and it is. It is valuable. It is practical and is important. And Krishna has created, you know, the arms and legs to do these different kinds of works. So if they're done nicely like that, with a mood of devotion, then the person, whoever he is, no matter what his level of intelligence, he advances in Krishna consciousness. So our Krishna consciousness movement is actually all about menial service. It is all about serving one another, serving the guru, serving the spiritual master, serving different representatives. You have allowed me to come here, and it is very humbling to represent Srila Prabhupada. As a Prabhupada disciple, I get more respect, I have to say, yes, more respect than perhaps I deserve, or perhaps you give each other. But you should also be very much aware that giving each other respect is the real key. Having a community, as you have here, where everyone is respectful and appreciative of others' service, is just a very wonderful thing to see. It's a very wonderful thing to see. And this is a result of your spiritual master, Srila Radhanath, basically giving you this instruction, how to be. Everyone is looking for instruction. In the material world, people spend huge fortunes going to college. When I went to college, it was very inexpensive. It's like my whole education, 5 years, cost $1,500. It was $100 a trimester. Now you cannot even go for one half of a term for that money. So then people are spending vast amounts of money for education. And what do they get? They get a paper. And then they get a trial. They start at the very bottom. They go into a company and they start at the very bottom to see if there's any competence. Or after you have the paper, they want to see still, are you competent? So like this. This trial is going on. So our trial is a little different. We have a trial of, how do you say, attitude. That is a main concern. Actually, my son is involved in business, and he was saying that many people in his business, they're not so competent, but they have the right attitude. They're friendly, they get along with everyone, and they're able to do the work in that way. He said, but not too many people there are great geniuses or competent. So genius is not required either in Krishna consciousness. What is required is the attitude, submissive attitude, to the idea of service. Of course, also, it's very important to recognize that we are not the fascists. We are not thinking everything for ISKCON, ISKCON, ISKCON. No, we are for the individual. Prabhupada said, we welcome your individuality, but not your independence. Independence means you want to do your own thing, you go, fine, become founder acharya. But if you want to do the founder acharya's thing, if you want to do Prabhupada's thing, educate yourself in the Vedas, become conversant with the basics, the very basics of Krishna consciousness. You're not the body, you are spirit soul. You have eternal relationship with Krishna. Now act on that platform. Act on that platform. This is the basic thing. This is a society. The society means many people coming together, and their business is to act together as a unified force to create a facility to what? We're like the firemen. We're trying to help people escape from the burning building. That is our business. Our business is not to make the world a better place with so many different technological advances or societal arrangements or strong government laws. Those things are so difficult. To try to enforce those things becomes problematic. I remember one time when I was the first devotee, there was this thing going on called deprogramming, and people would steal their children back. The children would come to Krishna consciousness, and then they would steal them back, and they would lecture them, and they'd put them in a room, brainwash them, and sometimes hit them, and scream at them, and tell them that Krishna consciousness was nonsense, and so forth. So this deprogramming was going on, and it was interesting, because so many people would be subjected to that, and then when they'd come back to Krishna consciousness immediately. But our business, you know, someone was asking me once, well, what do you do when someone leaves? Well, you know, say goodbye, we don't have time. We have positive alternatives. We're not interested in keeping people corralled or in a room or anything like that. You know, you cannot leave Krishna consciousness. It is all in your mind what you want to do. And if you project in your mind that I want to serve Krishna in this way, I want to serve my guru in this way, if you project strongly that desire, you'll become imbibed in your heart and you'll be able to fulfill that desire without any doubt. Krishna has made so many arrangements. Krishna is not a poor man. He can give all facility. When I was in Vancouver, after Prabhupada's passing away, Satsarupa Swami was there, and he was compiling his biography of Prabhupada. So one day, this man came, and he was obviously a street person. He was living on the street. But he came and he said, he came to the temple and got some prasadam. Says, I met your Swami. Oh, really? Yeah, tell us, you know, I was a little skeptical. But then he said, yes, I met him in New York at this particular time. He had just come to America. And he was talking about all of the things that he had. You know, he had vehicles, he had temples, he had all of these things. And he said, only time is separating us. So our objective to turn the world around, to make everyone Krishna conscious, only time is separating us from that. Now, each one of us is an individual. We're not going to convert millions of people, thousands of people at one time. We're going to convert one person after another. And that person may go and convert one or two, or three or four. Like this, the numbers multiply very rapidly. So what we need to do in Krishna consciousness is take very care of the particular time we're in, the moment, be here now. There was one bumper sticker. In America, they have these bumper stickers. And they have this, I'd rather be golfing, or I'd rather be sailing. And I saw one just before I left, I'd rather be here now. You know, I'd rather just be focused on what's going on right now, because what's going on is quite amazing. So like this, if we can focus on being here now for Srila Prabhupada, if we can focus on determining our desire, the particular way that we want to serve, the way we want to express our individuality, if we can focus on that, we'll be successful in this lifetime. That's the achievement, actually, that we want, is to be able to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, inform someone about Krishna, make someone look to Krishna consciousness as the real positive alternative. This positive alternative is so important. If we don't have a positive mood, if we have a mood of how do you say, defeatism or nihilism or things are too much, things are too heavy for me to deal with. If that becomes our mood, then we succumb. We go under. It's like drowning. You know, you can struggle for some time in the ocean and so forth if you're there. Actually, you can stay afloat for a long time if you just relax, you know. But if you struggle and you go crazy and you go wild and so forth, then you succumb to the energy there. You lose your energy and you fall into the water and you're finished. So like this, Krishna is made this arrangement that we're here in the material world for a reformation of our goals and objectives, no longer to be concerned with what is in it for me, what is my cut, what is my share, but to be concerned with how can I do something that will please the Supreme Lord and that will bring others by my example to Krishna. Example is very important. Each of us has this responsibility. Responsibility is not a joke. If you have children, you know that responsibility. You feel the responsibility for them. You worry for them. You're concerned for them. And they may not always appreciate. It's very interesting to watch the small child. You see the babies, you know, they go away from the mother. They're very confident and so forth. And then they realize, where is my mother? And they turn around and they run and look, and then they run back to the mother. And then they go again, you know. So this is the kind of independence that the living entity has. But actually, we never grow up. We never become God. We're always the child of God, the children of God. And we're always dependent on that shelter that the Supreme Lord is giving us as a parent. No matter what our rasa may be, we're dependent on that shelter of Him as a parent. There's no question. So especially here in this particular stage of our spiritual development, which is very low, in this particular stage, we want to recognize that dependence on the Supreme Lord. Actually, I have some nice prayers here. These prayers were given to me by one devotee. And she's an astrologer. And she said, you have a weak Saturn. So you can say these prayers. So actually, I said the prayers. The prayers are meant, you know, to be said just one time. You can get so much benefit. But I started to saying the prayers regularly because they glorify Lord Nisringadev. And so as this verse is, the siddhas are also glorifying Lord Nisringadev. Although we note that the siddhas are very thankful to have their powers back. They're not so much interested in glorifying the Supreme Lord. So I'll just read a few of these. Sulabha bhakti yuktanam durdarsha dusta chetasam ananya gatikanam cha prabhu bhaktaika vatsala sanischara tatra nishingadev chakra mala chitavati pranamya sastangam aseshaloka kirita nirajita parapatmam. Lord Nisringadev is easily accessible to the devotees and punishes those who are evil-minded. He is a savior for those who are helpless, who desire to seek refuge in him. When the demigods of innumerable planets bow down to his lotus feet, the bright jewels from their crowns are reflected on his toenails, giving the impression that lamps are being waved in front of them. Unto his lotus feet, Sanidev prostrated and prayed in the court of Brahma. Shri Sanirvacha Yat Parapankacha Raja Paramadarena Samsevitam Sakala Kalamasa Rasinasam Kalyanakam Karakam Asishanu Janaganam Satvam Nishringamai Dehikripavalokam. Shri Sani said, by the mercy of the dust of your lotus feet, which destroy a multitude of sins, grant infinite auspiciousness to your devotee, who always worships your lotus feet with devotion. O Lord Nisringa, please bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance. So he's offering this benediction to all the devotees, but he's also, I'm your devotee, and I'm offering this. Sarvatra chanchalataya stayapi lakshmiya brahmadi vandya padaya stirayanya sevi padaravinda yugalam paramam darena satvam nishringamayi dehe kripavalokam. Your lotus feet are worshipped by goddess Lakshmi, even though she is fickle by nature, chanchala, and by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, whose feet are worthy of worship with devotion. O Lord Nisringa, please bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance. Yadrupa magamastira patipadya madhya Adyatmikari paritapa haram vichintyam yogeshvara anta apata kakila dosha sangai satvam nishingamai dehikri pavalokam. By contemplating or meditating upon your appearance, which is expounded in the Vedas extensively, the best of the saints are liberated from the threefold miseries and from all misfortunes. O Lord Nrisimha, please bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance. So this goes on. There's eight of these verses. And then it says, Evam Shrutva Shrutam Deva Saninam Kalpitam Hari Vacha Brahma Vrindasta Saninam Tam Bhakta Vatsala. On listening to the heartfelt prayer composed by Sanidev in the assembly of Lord Brahma, Lord Hari, who was ever compassionate to his devotees, spoke to Sanidev as follows. Shri Nrisimha Vacha Prasanoham Sanetubhyam Varam Varayasobanam Yam Vanchasi Samevatvam Sarvaloka Hitavaham. Shri Nrisimhadev said, O Sani, I am pleased with your devotion. Whatever you desire that will benefit the world, ask for that kind of boon, and I will grant it. Nrisimhatvam mayi kripam kuru deva dayanide madvasaras tava priti karasyat devatapate. So anyway, Sanidev asked, O Lord Nrisimha, reservoir of compassion, please be kind to me. O Lord of all gods, let my weekday, Saturday, be your favorite day. O purifier, and it is everybody's favorite day, right? Saturday, isn't that a favorite day? I know in America it's a favorite day. Yeah. Anyway, O purifier of all the worlds, may you fulfill the desires of all those who listen to or read this great prayer to you composed by me. So Sanidev is asking not just for himself, but for everyone. So Sri Nrisimha says, O Sani, let it be so. By virtue of my being the universal protector, Raksho Bhuvana. So this is our universal protector, Lord Nrisimhadev. If we take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev, nothing can harm us. So many devotees have wonderful stories about being in difficult situations and let Lord Nrisimhadev save them because they simply thought of him. I fulfill the desires of all my devotees. Please listen to my words. Let there be no fear of the 12th and 8th birth positions and implicitly any unfavorable birth positions and consequent troubles from you for anyone who reads or listens to this prayer to me composed by you. So Saturn gives some trouble in astrologically. It's his nature somehow. Of course, all of these troubles that are caused to the living entity, this is all the arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that we'll stop fooling around here and go back to Godhead. Anyway, Sanidev replied to Lord Hari that he would follow the Lord's instructions. Then joyfully the saints and sages there present in Brahma's assembly responded with cries of jai, jai. So Lord Nrisimhadev told, Lord Krishna told Dharmaraj, whoever listens to or recites this conversation between Sanidev and Lord Nrisimhadev in the form of this prayer of devotion will definitely have all desires fulfilled and will always rejoice. Jai. So I tried it and I found that actually it's true. If you recite this prayer, you're rejoicing all the time. So this is our Krishna consciousness depending, our ability to appreciate Krishna consciousness and really take it and get the full benefit from it is very much dependent on our grateful attitude to Krishna. If we're thinking, I'm not getting enough, I'm not happy enough, no, that's not going to work. We have to actually be grateful for what Krishna has done for us, what he has taken us out of. What has he taken us out of? As some people here are wealthy and they have money and they have... But everyone can agree, he's taken us out of anxiety. Some people are poor. He's taken us out of that anxiety for feeling poverty. He's taken us out of the anxiety, what will I do with all my money? I have too many problems and so forth. He's relieved this anxiety. Why? Because we understand these things are temporary and we have no problem with them. They are not a problem. And we're grateful for whatever our status is. We're poor men or we're rich men, we're grateful for that because Krishna has arranged to keep us in a position that will actually benefit us. It's actually the most important thing for us. So this is, now it's time for a commercial. What will benefit me? Actually, or what will benefit hopefully everyone, what will be, Nrisimhadev says, ask for something that will benefit the whole world. So from the time of my college career, I was making films and I was successful won some awards. And throughout my entire 36 years of Krishna consciousness, I've been meditating on trying to make a film, a movie, that will promote Krishna consciousness. So I am here in Bombay, actually, looking to to contact producers, executive producers. This is a business. I'm not asking for donations in any way, shape, or form. This is a business proposition. I'm looking to make a business proposition with someone to produce a film about Krishna consciousness. The film is about a very wealthy woman who buys a business, comes to work in disguise to see who is valuable there. And on the first day, she meets this Hare Krishna devotee. This devotee is he's a celibate. He's living in an area of prostitutes, and yet he's very celibate. It's called celibate in Chelsea. Chelsea is an area of a red light district in America, in Manhattan. So he feeds the prostitutes cookies, and he brings cookies to his workplace, and he has a meeting with this lady, and some confusion is there, and she's wondering, who is this rascal? And then bit by bit, though, she becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness. And she goes to Krishna.com, and she takes a book about Krishna, she takes prasadam, and she becomes interested in Krishna consciousness, just like every one of us became interested by degrees, by little bits, by little sections. So this is a film that I'm hoping will go into the mainstream of the entertainment industry. It is not a documentary, it is not something just for a little TV. I'm hoping to put this film into the major movie houses in America and India and Asia, different places, Europe. And this is my desire. So Lord Nrisimhadev has promised that he will fulfill my desire. And you please all give me your benedictions, your blessings. And if you know anyone in this particular business who might be of help, I have a brochure, I have information about the film and so forth. And it has been worked over by a number of people, by directors and producers and by devotees. We had different readings. We worked for one full month in North Carolina at Hillsboro Temple with devotees. We had three different readings. So the film has been, the script has been refined over many years. It's been in the works for about 5 years off and on. So these things take an incredible amount of time. There's no question about it. And we're not looking for a quick fix. But if you have some information you can give me, that would be helpful. Anyone, any kind of connection. Because connections lead to other connections, networking. So I thank you very much. The commercial is over, and now we get back to straight Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. You have a microphone?
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for coming to our temple.
Thank you.
So inspiring to see that for 36 years in the Grastha Ashram you have been practicing Krishna consciousness. So could you share with us how you met Srila Prabhupada and what is it that really inspired you to continue to be in Krishna consciousness for all this year so that we can get some inspiration out of it?
Yes. Well, like the woman in the movie that I've written, now at first I was very averse to Krishna consciousness. Actually, I had one friend. He brought back Easy Journey to Other Planets. He went to California when all the hippies were there. This is in the this is about 1968, 69. So he went there and he brought back one book, and I was reading it one day at his house. And I said, "This Easy Journey to Other Planets." I said, "This man is," or I said, "This guy." "This guy is so authoritative." I had never read anything that was so completely authoritative. Well, later my friend, he became a devotee. His name is Rupa Vilas. He's written many books on the lives of the acharyas and saintly persons, Ray of Vishnu and Seventh Goswami. Those are his books. He's working now on a book about Haridas Thakur. So Rupa Vilas and his wife, they preached to me. And I was like, no, I want them to make films with me. I had that desire. He made films with me in college, actually, and we were successful. And so anyway, we pursued that, and the temple, they moved into the temple, and it was a block away from my house. And I used to walk around the block to avoid going by the temple. I was disturbed by the fact that my friend had abandoned me and gone to Krishna. So I was just amazed. One day he came to my house and he said, he was dressed in a dhoti, and I thought, oh boy, this guy. So he's dressed and he said, please, you take this book and just read, you know, read these books. So I thought, well, he's my friend. He's helped me, you know, with my films and so forth. I owe it to him. I'll find out what's wrong with it and I'll convince him to leave it. So I read these books and I started to, I had, you know, a little bit every night, you know, one or two verses, one or two pages of the Bhagavad Gita. And one night I just had a realization that Krishna was God. And that I wasn't, and that I should serve him. So the next morning I went to the temple, and everyone was like, what is he doing? You know, because I was very degraded. Well, I was still very degraded, but I was smoking cigarettes and arguing with the devotees on the temple steps. And so one night I went by intoxicated, and I was arguing with them. The inclination to be a devotee. I was intoxicated. I argued with him. He said, look, we go to bed early here. We don't stay up late, you know. So you come back some other time. So I said, okay. I walked down. The temple had a very high steps. And I walked up, and I looked at the temple. I said, this is very nice, you know. This Krishna consciousness is very nice. But I'm so attached. You know, what can be done? So then Krishna, he gave me some very special mercy. I read this passage in Bhagavad Gita about the universal form, and I got this understanding, Krishna's God, I'm not. Oh, what a relief, you know. Oh. So much pretension is there. And at that time in America, everyone, I'm God, you're God, everyone's God. You know, don't worry about anything, just enjoy. Have sense gratification. God enjoys. So that was the idea. So anyway, I got this understanding that I should chant Hare Krishna, I should serve Krishna in some way. And a week later, they closed the temple in Tallahassee. Everyone went to Dallas, and I jumped on the truck with them and went to Dallas. And I spent 2 weeks there, and then I came back and finished up my business and went on. I met Prabhupada the first time in New Vrindavan in 1972. And he got out of a big car. It was a big black limousine. And he got out of the car, and all the devotees were standing around. And just someone was fanning him. This one Indian gentleman was fanning him. I was thinking, how wonderful. This man is same age as Prabhupada, and he's not envious. He's fanning. How nice. And I could understand my problem. Actually, when I was in Tehran, I met Prabhupada again. I met Prabhupada about 10 different times. And very interesting chastisements from Prabhupada. So, but anyway, met him, and I saw that this man was fanning so nicely. I was just so terribly impressed. And I was thinking, this is like a movie set. You know, the devotees were going up the side of a hill. New Vrindavan has these very steep hills. And they're all lined up on the side of the hill like this, going up and down the hill. And Prabhupada would have to go up the hill, and they were going to bring a smaller car to take him up. And all the devotees were chanting and glorifying Prabhupada. And just, it was like a scene in a perfect movie. It was like being in Vaikuntha with Prabhupada. So you're also experiencing that, though. I know you have great affection and appreciation for your spiritual masters. And you're also appreciating that. And those people, those spiritual masters, they're Vaikuntha men. They're taking you back to the spiritual world. They're without anxiety. You know that. Everyone knows. They're not with anxiety. They may show some temper sometimes, some anxiousness about how one is behaving. But for the most part, their anxiety is only for Krishna, for you to learn how to do things nicely for Krishna. We have such a wonderful institution. This institution is becoming stronger and stronger. I spoke yesterday with Haridas, the producer of ITV, and he was saying, you know, ISKCON went down a little bit in the 80s, and so, but it's coming back. He said it's coming back so strong, and I have to agree. This movement really, you know, when I first joined, everyone thought, well, we'll take over the world. Prabhupada said we'd do this, and we would, and we thought it would take about 10 years. So it didn't take such a short time. But we can do that. We can take over the world, but we have to show the very positive thing. Taking over the world doesn't mean revolution, blood in the streets, and fighting. It means going to those persons who have power and making them devotees, making them appreciate what is Krishna consciousness, how Krishna consciousness can solve all of the problems that they have and still allow them to be rich men. They all want to be rich men, you know. So the Kshatriya, he can collect taxes. They can take a nice thing. And then what do? Then they give money back. They spread it out. So the opportunity is there for those persons who have the great strength and the power and the prowess to be, controllers of society. The opportunity is there in Krishna consciousness for them to enact their natural propensity. But what they have to become aware of is that their temporary life here is going to be seriously judged. You know, the king is the person who can judge. I was in Thailand for some time, and the king used to be able to put someone's head off just like that, just, and it was gone, you know. It was very, very powerful. So like that, the king is the judge. He makes the decisions. So they will be judged. They must understand that. Prabhupada, one time, he was in Dallas, he was walking, and there was one house of one very, very wealthy man, H.L. Hunt. He was a billionaire. At that time, that was quite a bit of money. And so he said, the devotee said, we were thinking to go to H.L. Hunt and say, help us with our school. We have a school and so forth. And he said, Prabhupada said, no, you don't tell him that. You tell him, you've stolen everything from Krishna, and Krishna wants something back. Yeah. You've taken all this from Krishna, and Krishna will take it back one way or another. So we should understand to make these people aware that this is not the only plane of existence. They're thinking this is all in all. That's why they behave so badly. But if they are aware, if they actually become aware, if someone seriously comes to them, becomes their friend and tells them, this is not doing you any good. So I was fortunate. My friend came to me and said, please, read these books. That's the standard for us. That's the standard. To get people to read and understand the philosophy. There's no arguing with this philosophy. 36 years I'm looking, I've seen so many different waves and fads and ideas and so forth, and none of them can hold water. They're like putting water in a piece of paper. Immediately it just opens up. They can't hold the water, but Krishna is a substance there, is a real vessel of information. So I got excited. But Prabhupada's mercy was there for me in Delhi. He chastised me. And when I was talking to him in Vrindavan, he chastised me very gently, actually. I was saying, Prabhupada, I want to make a film, going on and on like this. And he said, so who is stopping? And I was like, I'm afraid. I don't know how to do this. How can I do this? Such a big endeavor. And also, my priority at that time was to remain a devotee, not to just go off and try to do something independent of ISKCON and Prabhupada's, the program that Prabhupada had established. That was very important to me, to be, involved and stay in the association of devotees. Because that is our strength. Our strength is coming from seeing someone else serve, just seeing someone sweep the courtyard, or seeing someone mop the floor, or seeing someone serve out prasadam. Our strength is coming from that example of service. And when we appreciate that example, when we're grateful for that, we get the benefit, we get the ability. There's a saying that if someone tolerates the bad qualities or the abuse of his superiors, he gets that person's good qualities. Like that. It's a very interesting thing. It gets the good qualities if you tolerate the abuse. So sometimes this crime can be a little abusive, a little rough, We don't get to do exactly what we want. But if we tolerate that, we get all of the good qualities that are being offered. What are those good qualities? Well, they're the 64 qualities of a devotee. Different qualities of a devotee. You get all that tolerance, you get the forbearance, you get the intelligence, you get all these different things. So that's what we want. That's the achievement we want, is to become pure. So the most difficult quality to achieve, which Prabhupada was so expert at instilling, That quality was humility. That quality is humility. There was one famous American, his picture's on the $100 bill, Benjamin Franklin. He tried to develop different qualities, and he found that he could do very nicely in all of them, except for humility. Every time he thought, well, I'm doing very nicely, I'm very humble, that wasn't the humble thing. So like this, our Krishna consciousness depends, our humility is something that we have an ongoing struggle with, perhaps. You know, that ongoing struggle is one of the main reasons we need to take complete shelter of Krishna, to make me tolerate and let me come to a platform where I'm just your sold-out servant, no matter what you do. So I have this aspiration and so on. And if Krishna doesn't fulfill it, what will I do? I'll just remain humble, because that's Krishna's arrangement. Take it like that. And that will make me very happy, actually, to become simply the humble servant. It's very sweet. Humility has a very sweet taste, you know. You don't have to be proud and, you know, heavy and all this. You just can be relaxed and very simple. What is that, that taekwondo? There's a particular form of martial arts where you just receive everything. Everything that happens to you, just receive that energy and let it go by. So like that, if we're challenged, if the false ego is challenged with issues of control between one person and another, just let it go by. Whatever you want, how can I serve you? You know, it's so easy. It makes life so easy. So, other questions or comments? We're going over time now, I think, everyone. Dhanyavad, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Jai.